Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Good evening. Glad to be with you tonight and share a little bit about Lindsay and I's trip this past June to the Philippines. This is the third time that we've been able to go. The first time her and I went was back with the Florence Boulevard congregation when we were both, I had just graduated college and she was finishing up. We weren't married at the time. I went with a group over there, and then the next year we were able to go again about a month after we had gotten married, and took a year off last summer and didn't get to go, and we were very lucky to be able to go back again this summer. It's always a blessing for us to go over there and work with those people, and I thank you for your role that you played in that and us being able to go, and it's something that we hope, Lord willing, we'll be able to do again. Very quickly, just an introduction. The picture that you see here is after a long day of mission work that I think Lindsay took with her phone, of the sunset there in the Philippines as we were heading back to campus with the students that we were working with at the college there. So not only are you kind of there for a week doing the Lord's work, but you get to see a lot of the Lord's wonderful creations, which is always a blessing. The schedule of events, how things went. We left out on Thursday, the 11th of June. From Huntsville here, we flew to Atlanta, which was about a 30-minute flight. From there, we had a layover for a little while, got on a plane, and we flew from Atlanta to Tokyo. If you have a chance to do that, go ahead and pass on that. All right, it's about a 13-hour flight. From there, we got in Tokyo. We had about an hour layover, and then we flew to Manila, which is the capital city of the Philippines. You cross the international date line, so it was actually Friday night then. We spent the night in Manila in a hotel, and then we woke up the next morning, ate breakfast, and then got on a bus and went 6 hours to Dagupan City, which is where the hotel is that the people were staying that we were with. This year, actually, Lindsay and I stayed on the campus, the ACU campus, which stands for Asian Christian University. It used to be Philippine Theological College, but they've since changed the name, and they've looked to move to a university status. And that is where the people that we work with, the translators that we have, it's a fantastic group of young men over there that are training. It's a preaching training school that they're looking to be preachers and spread God's word. They make the joke there that there are two preaching schools in the Philippines. There are ACU and others. So they take a lot of pride in what they do, and they do a fantastic job. We got there Saturday to the campus where me and Lindsay and another couple were staying, and then the other rest of our group went to the hotel. Sunday morning we wake up, we kind of convene together, and the men that are on this trip, we all go out to various congregations that are around that have been established in large part, many of them by Americans and the students at ACU. And we'll do preaching there. Most of the congregations there simply meet on Sunday mornings, and that is it, simply for necessity purposes as far as work and other things. They can't meet at another time. And then, so that's all we have on Sunday. On Monday and Tuesday, we had a medical mission for 2 days, which was at an outdoor gymnasium. You'll see pictures of that in a moment. Wednesday and Thursday, we kind of, one, followed up with the people that we talked with in the medical mission. Did some door knocking, among other things. We were looking to establish a congregation there in the city of Balangal. And then on Friday, we had the Children's Fun Day. There's an orphanage there on campus, which you'll see pictures of here soon. So we kind of did some things for them. And then Saturday, the second annual Singspiration, as they call it. The Filipinos, one thing they love to do is sing. So we sang for 8 hours straight. From early in the morning up until the evening time, and we kind of had our American send-off, and many other congregations for the Philippines come to that. I think they had 50-something congregations represented, some, you know, as few as two from West Huntsville, and some, you know, as many as, you know, 20. So a lot of congregations represented there. Sunday we go and worship at Brother Junis's church, who is the president of ACU. And it's the nicest church in the Philippines. It's the only one I've ever been in that has air conditioning. So it's really nice. You'll see a picture of it here in a moment too. And then we start our departure back home the way that we came. So just to kind of give you a rundown of the events. This is ACU. This is their campus. This here is the dining hall where the students would eat. It's brand new. They used to have an outdoor dining hall, so it's very nice that they're able to go inside. It doesn't mean necessarily that flies don't still come. They do in large amounts. But this is the dining hall. This is where me and Lindsay and the other couple that stayed on campus would eat every night. Julie is the cook in there. She makes the absolute best fried chicken you've ever had. But that's where they ate. This picture on the right is the library, which they're working to increase and to build, trying to go to a university status. And on the back side, you don't see the picture there, but there are computers sitting at a bunch of these tables that they do have in their library on ACU's campus. These are six different vans that they have. This is how we get around from place to place, how the children oftentimes get around from place to place. And then finally here, and I want to show, I'll show you more about this on this next slide. This is kind of how ACU is working to be self-sufficient. All right, they've gone off many congregation funds for a long time now, and they're looking to get away from that and be on their own. They've got goats out here, they've got chickens, they've got rabbits, they've got geese, many different things in which they're trying to raise their own money so that this college and university can work without any American funds. That's the goal and the plan that they hope to eventually get to, which is pretty impressive on their part. Very quickly, just some of these pictures from, this is Arnell. He's kind of in charge. He's one of the teachers there. He's in charge of kind of helping things become self-sufficient. You see all the different chickens that they have. They'll use the eggs. They'll sell them. They'll sell the rabbits for furs, among other things. They have one male and two female rabbits. They've got the chickens that they can use for eggs, food. They've got the goats in which they will sell goat's milk, and many other things that they can use for the goats. And they have a bunch of gardens out there. And they have a canteen, if you will, which is a term I know most of us know from Camp Naani. But they have that in which they'll sell certain things that the students make. And really, they are trying to make a push to be completely self-sufficient and get away from American funds altogether. This is something that they started a few years ago. It's called the First Start Program, and it's something that they continue to try to do over the past few years. And they've made a lot of great strides in this, but they're still working on it and still gaining a little bit of ground. This is the children's. This house on the left is the girls' home there. The house on the right is the boys, and then there's the office building, Brother Junis's office. This is the inside, kind of the commons area of one of those houses. They have 12 boys and 12 girls. It's called CHC, Christ Happy Child Haven. And 12 boys and 12 girls there on campus. They have house parents for both. And Dante, one of the house parents, was a former student. He still takes some classes there. They have, in this office building, there's a dental chair, which I was quite surprised to see. I think they have a local dentist that comes once a year to check on these kids' teeth, which are not very good, you can imagine. But if you loved nothing else about the Philippines when you left, the children will stick with you. And you'll see some pictures of them here in a moment. Lindsay and I were lucky enough to stay on campus where we got to see them every single day. Lindsay was the candy lady. She gave them candy every day when we got back from, you know, working out in the mission field. And we were able to play with them. We were able to sit in their devos at night. And it's fascinating to see, just as it is with our kids up here, with kids seeing the things that these kids desire to learn and that they enjoy learning and that they try to one-up the other one with how many Bible verses they know compared to the other one. You know, one will say one and then another one will want to share his memory verse. And it's very impressive. The kids are impressive, and you can't help but wonder how much better life is for them because of this orphanage, as compared to what life was like for them prior to. Many of these kids came from a landslide that happened in the Philippines in which they went to school and then they came home one day and they didn't have a house, they didn't have parents, they didn't have a family. All that was gone. And they were taken into this orphanage, and the amount of care that they get and the amount of Bible and spiritual growth that they get every single day is, I know, a blessing for them, but just also for everyone that comes in contact with them on that campus. Day one on Sunday, we woke up bright and early. I believe our departure time was 5:30, if I remember correctly, that we had to get in our van to kind of meet up with other people to spread out from congregations. There's the sunrise there as we're driving. And I went to a church in Villaseñor, which oddly enough was the first place that we went when me and Lindsay first went to the Philippines. We established a congregation there. And so I was able to go and speak there on Sunday morning. That's Lee Mar there to translate for me. Depending on where you go, sometimes you can do a lesson full in English and don't need a translator. And other places, they've got to translate through, and, you know, you've got to say something, stop, and they'll translate it for you. This was one of those. I've preached at other ones where they didn't need one, and you just preach straight through. So it just kind of depends on where you're at. The national language there is Tagalog. Many people, most people that are educated know English. The only thing is you're only educated if you can afford to be educated, meaning you can afford for your kids not to stay home and do some sort of work, and so you can afford for them to go to school. Other than that, most of the time in some inner city type parts of different towns, they don't ever know English, and they don't ever learn it. That's a sign of the Church of Christ that meets on ACU's campus. They do have a church that meets there every Sunday as well. That's the one that the kids go to, so on and so forth. Monday morning, we had this medical mission outdoors at a gymnasium. It's an outdoor gymnasium. You see all the medicines that were there. There's a pharmacy at ACU that they stock up over time, and they prepare for these medical missions. The students send out flyers in this city to everyone around prior to kind of let them know that we're going to be, you know, participating in a medical mission and hosting a medical mission. And so they have those flyers, and it is amazing the people that show up. And it's amazing the people that just kind of walk up and ask you, hey, what are we doing? What are y'all doing? And they'll step up. And from the students setting it up to, we had a pharmacist that went there with us, Ashley Fussell from the Walnut Street congregation, her husband and many other from that group. And then the setups, there was a local dentist and a local doctor that were there that would check, you know, blood pressure, all those things, and get medicines. And what we would do is these bleachers that are over here, myself and many other men would have a translator. You had the same translator all week, and we would just sit over there in the bleachers. And as they came through the line to get their medicines and to get their diagnosis and some to get teeth pulled, they would fill out these forms of what ailed them, so to speak. And at the end, it would say, you know, where they went to church, if they went to church, if they wanted to have a Bible study. And you'd be shocked at how many people would check yes there. Far more than we would ever have here in the United States, I would dare to say. And after they came through the line and got their medicine, someone would bring them over to us who were waiting in the stands there of the gym, and we would have a Bible study with them. So me and my translator and Lindsay was there with us, would sit there and kind of wait for someone who was done in line, and they would bring them to us. And it was kind of just first come, first serve. So the men are there. Some of the women and some of the younger folks we had with us were working in the pharmacy, making sure people got medicines. Other women, like Lindsay, for example, was on child duty. As I tried to have a study with someone, she was handing out the crayons and the coloring books and trying to keep those kids occupied, which plays a huge role when you're trying to have a Bible study with someone and their kids are pulling at their shirt and distracting them the best they possibly can. So the women play a big role as well. The dentist, I've decided that I'm never going to complain about going to the dentist in the United States ever again. Because I took a quick peek at what they were doing, and then I went back to where I was supposed to be. Because I have no desire to do things the way that they did them there. There's just kind of a picture of the table of the dentist, and this was a local dentist in town that would come, and they did all sorts of dental work, from pulling teeth right there in the middle of the, you know, gymnasium, and then you're having a Bible study with someone, and they've got a rag in their mouth that they're biting on. That's supposed to, you know, make them feel better, I suppose. There's some of our ladies that worked in the pharmacy. There's Ashley Fussell. She's our pharmacist. And Jan and Amy Burton were there, and they were working in the pharmacy and helping hand out medicines, all of them from Walnut Street in Adairsville, I believe, in Georgia. Some pictures of some studies that went on. My translator here is Kenerson Javier, and I'll talk more about him just in a moment, but you see Lindsay back here. She's kind of playing with this young one here, trying to keep him occupied. We went through and had anywhere from 5 to 15 studies in a day, depending on, you know, how quickly, you know, that was per person. Depending on how quickly you went through them, some would last an hour and some would last 10 minutes. You know, depending on how much they wanted to know, how much time they had. Sometimes you've got to try to condense it and make it quick. We tried to, the best we could, keep them to 1 to 2 people. This was the most interesting one I had, this picture on the bottom, because all 4 of those are 4 different religions. And that's an absolute rare scenario. Normally we never ever try to do that. But we had a great influx of people, and we were trying to, our main goal on this trip was to share, you know, obviously the gospel with as many as you can. Baptisms are wonderful, obviously, for the reason of someone being saved, but we wanted to make sure that we kept a tally of how many people are hearing the word, because that's really our job on these type trips, is to share the word with others. God gives the increase in other in that area, but it's our job to share the word with them. So we wanted to make sure that we had as many studies in a day as we possibly could. We were out there normally till around 4 or 5 in the evening. We got there. It was about a 2-hour trip from the campus or from the hotel. Normally we got there around 10 o'clock or so, 9 o'clock in the morning. And the question for us as Americans is, why don't we start a little earlier? Philippines are not going to start earlier. They will joke and say that they run on Filipino time, which means they'll get there when they get there, and they'll leave when they leave. So they joke about that all the time. We were late one time running the thing, and they said, Brother Ben, now you are true Filipino. You're on Filipino time, because we were late. So that's just kind of how they operate. But we tried to have as many studies as we can, as we could. Obviously saw a lot of good out of it. Just a few things here, kind of wrapping up the medical mission. There is Brother Junis. That's the president of ACU. Junis normally kind of works behind the scenes in all of these trips that I've been on in the past. You never see him really do a lot. He kind of is running things logistically. He's a highly intelligent man. He's a lawyer. His wife is a seamstress. She makes dresses and clothing. He's a lawyer. He's the president of ACU, and he's the president of Christ Happy Child Haven. I don't know if he ever sleeps or not. But for the first time this year, I brought him over in a study that I was having, because I was having a problem communicating with this woman. And so he was standing over there, and I brought him over, and I got to see him for the first time interact, really, and show his Bible knowledge. And it was fascinating. The man is absolutely brilliant. He's an incredible man of God, a real, true salt of the earth type gentleman. And a wonderful role model for everyone who comes through ACU and for all of us Americans that are there as well. The same could be said for Josie down here, who's standing beside Lindsay. She's the secretary, one of them for ACU, helps run the books. She kept up with all the baptismal forms, all of that type stuff, making sure that everyone who is baptized is getting a follow-up, making sure we know their address so those ACU students are going to go out to them after we're gone, follow up with them, have more studies with them, get them a Bible correspondence course. All of that type of stuff. Josie's in charge of all of it, and she is one of the sweetest women you'll ever meet. There is Kenderson there and me one morning making our daily morning Cobra Run, which is an energy drink they have in the Philippines that we had to have every morning. The students love them. Normally they don't buy them that often. When we're there, we usually buy one for them every morning, just kind of as a treat for them. I don't exactly know what's in it, but it's full of energy. I know that much. And here's our kind of group picture that last day when we were done. Overall, from the medical mission alone, I don't remember exactly how many baptisms we had just from the medical mission. Throughout the course of the week, we had a great deal, a large number, total of 74, which I'll talk about more in a minute. But the medical mission was fantastic. The amount of people that came through, they got, you know, the things that they needed, and then that also were able to hear the word. Here, the next few days, we kind of went out door knocking, doing other things, trying to have some evangelistic type missions on Thursday and Friday. This is where we would baptize people at the Balangao Adventure Center, which was like a resort that's there. And it actually, someone of the Americans Googled it before we left. It has the largest zip line in the world. So if you're ever looking for that, you need to go to the Philippines. But this is where we would baptize. They had a pool there. We would leave one of the Filipino students there all day. And they would bring them there, and he was the baptizer. We would joke and call him Mark the Baptizer all day, because that was his job. He sat at the pool and waited for, you know, the buses to bring people that wanted to be baptized. There's a prayer happening right before baptism, and this is Kenderson and I studying with someone in different houses. And you can see here, I mean, we're studying with four women here. This gentleman just comes up behind. They're very curious. They're interested. And part of it, yeah, is because we're American. They don't see many pale-faced, red-beard guys walking around in the Philippines. I draw attention. Kenderson said to me at one point in time, sir, you are very unique. So I'd probably draw some attention in that way, but at the same time, they don't just stand there and figure it out and then walk away. A lot of them will sit around and they'll listen to what you have to say, which is encouraging and wonderful to see. Julie, the master chef, her job one day was to get food for everyone. We had 48 Americans on our team, and then a translator at least for all of them, and then others. I don't know how she figured that out. I have a trouble ordering two orders at a drive-thru, and somehow she went and got that done. I took this picture because we laugh. The Filipinos sometimes we think are superhuman, but they do actually sleep from time to time. That's on the back of the bus after the day's worth of work. This other one was Lindsay's favorite part of the trip. As we crossed this bridge to go to the other side, really, once we got over there, it turned out not to be any prospects like we had hoped. Top five probably sketchiest things I've ever done in my life was crossing that bridge. It was handmade of some driftwood that was half rotten and half not rotten. At one point in time, Kenderson gave us that. He said, step on the horizontal one so you won't fall, which is really comforting to hear when you were about 50 feet over water in the middle of it. And that is Kenderson there beside me. To tell you a little bit about Kenderson, Javier, I had some time. Obviously, I'm with him all week. And between, you know, somebody coming to us for studying the medical mission, I just got to sit and kind of talk with him and get to know the young man a little bit. And if I had to describe Kenderson in one word, it would be servant. I don't think I've ever met anyone who enjoys being a servant of God more than Kenderson does. His favorite verse is Ephesians 6:6, and he says he doesn't understand why anyone can't figure that one out. The kid loves to be a servant. He wants to be a servant. He feels like it is his calling in life to be a servant of God and to help as many people as humanly possible in the process. He is a fascinating young man, one that is a biblical scholar without question. They call him the human Bible, some of his classmates joking with him. I'm always impressed with the Filipino students that we work with while we're there at ACU. And Kenderson was another example of that. He was a second year student. And I look forward to seeing him again and all the wonderful things that he will do, for the Lord's kingdom. Our Children's Day. Here are pictures of some of the children. Steve McCaslin here playing checkers in the floor. Us just, you know, letting them ride around on our shoulders, goofing with them all day. They enjoyed the time that we were able to spend with them and had a blast. JV there standing there with me. I don't think he was ever more than 2 feet from me at any point in time that I was on campus. Kind of clung to me and I to him, and we had a wonderful time. There's Lindsay, the candy lady, handing it out, and you see them all flock to her. And she would give one kid a piece of candy, and then 20 more would come running out of the house, you know, soon after. So an absolutely fascinating time. That's the first time we've ever been there when the children were there. They just started that orphanage 2 years ago. The last year would have been the first one, and they've gained more children since then. And it's been absolutely wonderful. We had spaghetti, chicken, and ice cream, and you can see Junior's really excited about that. After our Children's Day that we spent with them, we gave them all a gift the Americans had pitched in, and we had, you know, a set of clothes for them for the young men. It was a short sleeve button up shirt and a tie and some slacks. For the girls, it was a dress. They don't have many dress clothes, and a bear and a balloon, something like that. You see some of the girls wearing their dresses here, and that's JV getting his stuff. They love to take pictures. They want to take pictures all the time. They want to see themselves in pictures. And so, like I said, if you got nothing else, you would absolutely love being with these children. And Armenia is so cute, I decided she gets her own slide, because she is quite possibly one of the cutest little girls that were there. And just to be with them all day and to see how much fun they have and the smiles that they have on their faces all the time, to love to be around you, to cry when you leave, it's difficult to leave the place when you leave there, if nothing else for the children, not to mention the fact that you're developing relationships with these students and you're gaining brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the process as well, an unbelievably rewarding experience. The singspiration that they have, there is just some of them that are out there singing. There's the ACU students at the end of the day. They decorated it up real nice. This is inside of the dining hall. And again, multiple congregations, it got really, really hot in there. They have AC units in that dining hall, but they don't have a good enough breaker system that can hold all those AC units running at one time. So they would, it would, power would cut out all the time. And so, got really hot, no one left, they stayed there all day, they sang and sang and sang and sang, and it was a wonderful experience. At the end of the day, we had to have our annual Americans versus Filipinos basketball game there on campus. Filipinos for some reason love basketball, and they max out at like 5'6". But that's their favorite sport. I was happy to say that the Americans did come home with the victory, which hasn't always been the case. Those guys are fast. But I had a wonderful time. The kids look forward to it every year, and it's just something that we can kind of share with them. There's Sunday, the final day. We finally cleaned up ourselves a little bit. That is the inside of Magalden Church of Christ, where Brother Junis is the preacher there. And his father is an elder there. Very nice building. It's, like I said, it's the nicest one that's around. No other one looks like that. Well, the place I preached at on Sunday was a shack with a tin roof and holes in the top. R.V. Dupuy there from the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ preached on Sunday morning to us, did a fantastic job. And one of the local Filipinos actually taught class, and the class that they were talking, that they had was the amount of work that they were doing locally around the Magalden Church to try to do mission work locally themselves. So it's not at all a thing where they just rely, some Americans show up and we're going to try to do some mission work around. They do it all the time. So, just kind of wrapping it up, again, it's a wonderful experience for us, for Lindsay and I to be able to do, you know, and Lord willing, we'll be able to do it again. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I know Lindsay does as well, for your support in that effort, for allowing us to go. We're not able to meet the people and do the things that we're able to do without your support. And I've remembered names and developed relationships and been able to see people, you know, accept Christ through baptism for the first time that I never would have seen without the support that you give us and allow us to go. So I greatly appreciate that. And I know I speak on behalf of Lindsay when I say that as well and everyone else that went on this trip with us. So thank you very much. And I appreciate you kind of letting me share a little bit of our journey with you. And God bless you all, and I thank you so much. And as they say in Tagalog, I'm going to try this out. Pagpalain nawa kayo ng Diyos, which is God bless you. So thank you very much.
Open your Bibles to 3 John. Ben and Lindsay, we want you to know how much we appreciate the sacrifices that you make for these multiple trips. And I know that you have trips planned in the future, and what a great presentation. There are some assumptions that you can make about Christianity, because those people who are in Christ all serve the same King. And 3 John is about mission work. In this particular case, what has happened is that some missionaries, some evangelists traveling through the land, naturally will stop at congregations, and they'll need lodging, and they'll need food, and then they go on their way. Well, they came to the one where Gaius is a member, and 3 John is a letter written by the Apostle John to this Gaius, this Christian, to say, I really appreciate how you treat the missionaries that come through, and you did good. But then, of course, there's one in the church named Diotrephes, and he didn't treat them well, and he wanted to push them away. There are some assumptions that you can make about Christians, and when they deviate from that, well, John says, I'm going to remember Diotrephes, and I'll take care of that when I get there. Here is his response to the attitude of Diotrephes, and I'm going to read this because we're thinking about mission work, and there's a way that we all ought to think about. There's a way that, an attitude that we all ought to have about the kinds of mission work that various ones of our members do, and that we all do with our contributions. In verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil. He's talking about the attitude in verse 10 of Diotrephes, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Verse 8 says, and I love this, that when you and I encourage people like Ben and others in the church to do this kind of mission work, that we become fellow helpers to the truth You see, there are some assumptions that you just understand. And one is that we're in this together. Why are we in this? And the answer to that is verse 7. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. In other words, they didn't go to these places. These missionaries didn't, and beg money, asking people, we'll teach you the gospel if you'll pay us. The way that it worked was the Christians would take care of them place to place. They would come to these congregations and just like we will do at West Huntsville, they're going to take care of these faithful missionaries of the Word of God. That's an assumption that they can simply make. What I want you to see about verse 7 is this phrase, for his name's sake. I don't have time to do it tonight, but in your private Bible study, would you run the references on this use of the word name as it relates to Jesus? Some of the times you have the word name and it's about his authority. For example, Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ means by his authority. But other times it's different. It's sort of an abbreviated form of the whole picture of what we live for and how we are. And so in Acts chapter 5, when those disciples were, I mean, they just came out of being beaten. They beat them because they were doing what Ben was talking about and what he and Lindsay had been doing. They beat them for it. And the Bible says they came out and they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer shame. Are you ready? For his name. For his name. You and I live our lives the way that we do because of the name. Because of Jesus. Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And do you wear his name? And if the answer is no, have you thought about it? And would you like to obey the gospel? You can repent of your sins and confess him. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That obligates me, you know. He's from heaven. What he says then binds me. He's from heaven. He's the Son of God. You confess him and you be baptized, immersed for the remission of your sins. If tonight there's somebody here in this room who needs the prayers of the Christians, maybe you need to be restored. Maybe you're having some struggle in life and you need the prayers. Now would be a good time to do that. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.